DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane. Today we are going in depth on tobacco smoking rates in the region and its connection to housing. I'm joined by Lindsay Kramers from the Tobacco Action Coalition of the Finger Lakes. Lindsay, thanks so much for being here. Let's start with this. How did the survey come to be?
So we work with a local, his name is Joel, and he helps us come up with a certain amount of questions that would be target the population that we're trying to target, more or less. And interpreting the data and providing more, simplified statistics to us. But we also get a lot of our stats, New York State and everything through the DOH and everything.
How challenging is it to get good data, especially when you're talking about rural communities like the ones you guys serve here in the Finger Lakes region? Is that a bit of a challenge?
Definitely. We have to think of a good medium and how we're going to best get reciprocated attention from community members, especially, the youth or the younger generation. It can always be a challenge, but we find our ways of how we can get more detailed information that's not provided on the generalized New York State surveys.
Coming into this, obviously looking at the release you guys put out last week, I think some of the adult smoking rates might take some people by surprise because they just assume that smoking rates are coming down across the board. But there are some kind of like hot spots, I guess, across the region. I'm curious, before we get into the actual numbers, do those kind of fluctuations surprise you guys, or is that kind of what you expect heading into something like this?
Do you know what? I think it's a little bit of expected, unfortunately. I just think that, with all the different trends and different mediums of tobacco and smoking that are pushed by big tobacco in the community, there's always going to be a challenge with reducing a number. Cigarette use might be down, but then you add the vaping and all the other different methods of it. So there's always going to be a new challenge while we're reducing, the rates of one. There's always going to be something else that's in the community, unfortunately. And as the New York State rate is 12% of adults across the state, and unfortunately, a couple of our counties are a little above that. So we like to work really towards reducing secondhand smoke wherever possible in hopes that it, ultimately dominoes into effects and helps to improve the health of everyone in the community to some extent.
Let's talk about that. Give us a rundown kind of the counties that you guys were taking a look at. What was the range of smoking rates that you saw, and what were kind of the high and the low end of that?
Yeah, so as I stated, the New York State rate for adults is 12%. I have the statistics for the counties that we cover, and I can give a quick rundown of that. So the highest one, unfortunately, is Wayne County at 19.7. Below that would be Seneca County, which is 19.6. And then there's a little drop down, but Ontario County is 14.1%. And then Yates County being our lowest at 13.2. So like I said, they're all above that. They're nothing too drastic, but still it's a little concerning that they are above the average.
Yeah. And when you guys start to think about, obviously this particular survey focuses on housing, rental properties, homeownership, and linking that back to smoking rates. What do you guys see as far as that data is concerned? Where are the connections or where are they not? Because I think this is something that for the layman who isn't in this on a daily basis, they're going to say, what's the connection here? What's going on?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't have any specific statistics or data about the connection between the two, but we always like to say that majority of New Yorkers prefer a smoke-free options and environments. So that's, one way that we really get out in the community with our smoke-free housing initiative. And like I said, we are just promoting tobacco-free environments. So just reducing second and third hand smoke wherever possible. And targeting multi-unit complexes is a great way to use that, because it does, unfortunately, put individuals, especially children and elderly, at risk for that secondhand and thirdhand smoke exposure. So like I said, we try to get policies in those multi-unit dwellings to try to reduce that. And then it also helps to reduce the turnover cost with landlords and tenants as well, just for the damage that smoking can cause to unit. And then also just helping with fire reduction as well. We like to kind of remind landlords and property managers that there's, you know, there are extreme health benefits to developing a policy and having a property go smoke-free. But there's also the other little side that, you know, improves their turnover costs and the reducing of fire risks.
What do you guys generally see? Obviously not asking for any specific data or anything like that, but just generally speaking, do landlords seem to be interested in these policies, or are they kind of tough to sell to different landlords in different situations?
It's really hit or miss. I would like to think that majority of properties are either smoke-free or in the contemplation phase of doing it. I do a lot of outreach. I just send emails, and sometimes it's challenging, but we do get a lot of positive feedback in the sense that people or landlords who do not have a current policy in place, they're interested. So then that's when I would kind of open up the discussion with them and work with them on what would work best for their property and kind of what they're looking for and what would work best for their tenants and everything. So it's really hit or miss, but you know, we're always excited when we do get a reply and they're interested in working with us. And then we can say that there's another smoke-free property and, you know, somewhere we're reducing secondhand smoke and thirdhand smoke exposure and, you know, improving the lives in our community to some extent.
How important is that, especially when you consider the fact that a lot of young families, especially in upstate New York, are renting for longer than they ever have before eventually going into home ownership?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's super important. You know, just in New York State, there's 1,400 deaths that are attributed to secondhand smoke. You know, that's not just in units, but, you know, there is such a big exposure to secondhand smoke in units that people might not think about. You know, if you don't have a child yourself, you're not thinking that you're exposing anyone to the secondhand smoke or anything, but it finds its ways. You know, the cracks under the doors to the HVAC systems and everything, it travels. So we, you know, really like to promote policies of just bettering the health of everyone, even though you might not think that you're directly exposing someone. You know, and children have a greater risk for lung disease just because their bodies are still young and developing. So they're more at risk for asthma and sinus and bronchial and illnesses. And of course the elderly as well. So all in all, it just really helps to better the health of everyone, even though you might not think that you're directly exposing someone.
Do landlords ever bring up enforcement challenges when it comes to a policy like this? Because it seems like that might be one of the things, especially when you're talking about, you know, a multi-unit property that maybe has 100, 150 units inside of it. Enforcement could be a challenge.
Oh, definitely. It's one of the top questions we always get. Unfortunately, with our program, once we do a policy with them, it's kind of in the hands of the property to decide what they want to do. But we always kind of give them some ideas. They can do, you know, a 3-strike rule. They can do fines to some extent. Fortunately, we are able to provide free signage, though, to any property that does sign a policy with us, which is a great visual reminder and cue to remind, you know, tenants or visitors, family, friends who are coming to the unit that once they enter the facility or like the unit itself, that it is a smoke-free environment. And it's also up to the property itself whether, you know, the individual policy they want. Policies can range from going all buildings inside are smoke-free, or if it's just the units, if common areas are included in that. So the signage is also a really good way to help enforce the policy wherever it is, and, you know, whatever it is on the property.
Sure. You mentioned second and third hand smoke. I think a lot of people know what secondhand smoke is, but third hand smoke, that is a little different phrase. Talk to us about that. Kind of walk us through what that means.
Yeah, it's kind of a new phrase, I like to think, that is being put out there. So third hand smoke is basically the residue that is left on fabrics, countertops, on clothing, on hair, on animals. It's more of a long-term exposure in that sense. And people might not think of it. So when you go into someone's house that is a smoker, they might not be smoking directly in front of you, but you're still exposed to the residue and the smoke that is trapped in fabrics and in woods and on the walls and everything. And there's actually the three R's of third hand smoke. So I like to, I'm going to list them really quick if that's okay, just because I think they're a good way of kind of explaining a little more about third hand smoke is. So the first one is remain. It remains on surfaces and in dust up to months. It re-emits back into the air as a gas phase, and eventually, you know, it remains long-term threat if it's not cleaned properly. So it's re-emitted if it's not cleaned properly. And then it actually reacts with other chemicals in the environment to make new harmful or toxic chemicals as well. So it's just that, you know, the lingering smoke and chemicals that are left behind from the smoke.
And obviously we're at the end of the year here. But when you think about this, this fight moving forward and how you guys work towards creating a more spaces that are smoke-free, tobacco-free, what does a successful year look like for you in 2024?
I would say a successful year is to be signing more policies. I know that coming out of COVID, and I know that we're a couple years after, you know, there's a lot of other concerns that either businesses or properties are having to deal with. And I think that that's kind of calming down. And now we're able to kind of tackle the smoking related issue. And like I said at the beginning, you know, there's always new issues that are arising with smoking and tobacco use. Big Tobacco is always pushing new products or new slogans or, you know, so it's challenging. So I think if we were able to get a couple more units to go smoke free, get a couple different parks or businesses to go smoke free. And then I think, you know, a good measure of success also with us is just getting out to the community, talking with everyone, having conversations, educating where we can, answering any questions, partnering with anyone who's interested, and really just, I think, trying to make a difference where we can would be the ultimate goal.
For folks in the community who want to engage with you guys and possibly get involved in this, what's the best way for them to reach out and get connected?
Yeah, I would definitely say email. I can link my email. So my email is my maiden name, but it is lindsay.robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S at lung.org. Or we also have our website, which is smokefreenewyork.com. And that's our general website for the contract of New York State that we work through. And then, so that has a lot of our, it has our contact information as well on there, as well as some other New York State specific resources and data points and so on. But I would say email is the best method of contact for us.
All right, great. Lindsay, thanks for all you do in the community, and have a happy new year.
Thank you. You as well.